Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto all of you in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation he has won for us through his life, death, and resurrection. Amen. I'd like for you to open your bulletins today to the epistle reading because that is what my message today will be based upon. And the key verse that I've chosen is verse 8. Once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, this book, or writing of Paul, the Epistle of the Ephesians, is one of the most beautiful of all of his epistles. In general, we think that it was, first of all, written by him, maybe originally to Ephesus. Maybe he wanted to be a kind of a circular letter to go all of the churches around Asia Minor and those places there where he had ministered before. But in the first part of this epistle, he talks about how wonderful it is that God has called us to be a member of his family, the Holy Christian Church. And he takes great pride in that knowledge that he was called out of darkness into God's marvelous light and made him a member of Christ's holy body, the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the doctrinal portion, and in that portion he describes the chief articles of the faith. And mainly it is one that you know so well, and that's from his first part of this chapter, our book. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you also heard that refrained in the gospel lesson today, where Jesus says, no one can come to me except the Father draw him. And then he launches into the second part of the letter. Paul always had a way of doing that in most of his letters. He covers the doctrine of our faith in the first part that we're to hold to. And then in the second part of his letters, he generally gets into what we would call the practical applications of them, of those truths of God that he has saved us by Jesus Christ and how that should show itself in our life. So in this second part of the epistle, we have that there, the practical members. And keep in mind now that Paul is writing all of his epistles to Christian people, people who have been born again of water and the Spirit, people who have been in the church for some time, and he wants to encourage them in their faith, yes, but also in the way they're living in that present dark age that they were in then. It was indeed a very dark age in the world then. All over the world, there were people who were worshiping all kinds of false gods and so on. And they were participating in all kinds of evil acts and atrocities that you and I could not believe in. And this is what they were called from, that kind of life. Once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So my main topic today is we are called from darkness to live in the light of Christ. Paul went to Ephesus after some missionary activity was made there by Apollos. He had been converted by John the Baptist, but had accepted Jesus as his Lord. And he was further instructed in the faith, and then he had to go to another place to carry on ministry. So Paul later on came back to Ephesus, and he stayed there for 2 whole years, preaching the gospel of Christ to them. And souls were won for the kingdom of God as he did so. But at that time, there was also other things brewing. For example, they had worshipped idols very strongly in Ephesus, and they participated in all kinds of evil ceremonies that we would think of to worship those gods. And so they were living in that kind of a generation, that kind of circumstance in their world. And they became so angry that he was leading them away from their chief goddess, Artemis, and were accepting Christ and were forsaking that, because they used to make idols of Artemis, the goddess, and were selling them. And that's how they made their profit. So Paul was destroying their profit as he went about preaching the gospel, and people came to know Christ as Savior and Lord, and would not be worshiping all of these pagan idols and all of the pagan practices that were around them. And so they actually had what we would call a big public argument over it, almost going into hostility until they were calmed down by the governor of that place, the mayor of that place. And so they were able to continue for some time after that. But Paul had to leave there and go elsewhere. But he left apostles. He left some of his ministers behind to continue with the churches there. And so he's remembering those things about the Ephesian Christians and all of the Christians to whom he was writing, that they had come to know the light of Christ, and they had come out of all of that darkness that was in the world. In the Bible, you will find a strong emphasis on the words light and darkness. Light has to do with what is right and good and true, and darkness has to do with all of those things that are evil and which stand against God and his true word. And so he is writing to them to help them to continue that way. And he says to them in this epistle, and you can underline that if you have a pencil in hand, let no one deceive you with empty words. For there were people all over the place in Ephesus and these other churches that were taking a stand against these Christians, and trying to show how terrible they were that they didn't worship these other gods, these many gods of the Roman Empire of that day. But the Christians, as far as we know, stood firm in their faith and would not deny Christ as their Savior and Lord. But all of these empty words were coming out of those who were against the Christians, and were embraced, trying to get them to embrace what they called philosophy and so on. But Paul told them, you need to stand fast. Don't let people deceive you with empty words. You know, when you think about our world today, there's a lot of empty words that you have to encounter. You have to encounter sometimes from the public press. You have to encounter them when you go on your email and see all of the things that are being hurled at you, words. You hear words of false preachers that come our way that are trying to rob us of the true faith and salvation we have in Christ Jesus. Words, words, words that keep trying to destroy you. Even from the scientific community, largely, there are those who say, there is no such thing as God. There is no God. We can do whatever we want to do. There's no judgment to come. And things like that were coming from the pagan society about them. Let no one deceive you with empty words. And then he talks about, in this epistle, how these Ephesian Christians had once walked. You must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance in them due to the hardness of their heart. And there are many people in our world today who still are that way. They do not really think much of this doctrine that we have about all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. They do not like that message. Then as you go on through that epistle and look at it a little closer, he talks about how they were formerly living. He talks about the works, unfruitful works of darkness, the sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, filthy talking, crude joking. So living like this, they had no inheritance in the kingdom of God. And for these things, the wrath of God was going to be coming upon humanity. But they had been born again by the water of baptism and by the Holy Spirit, and they were eschewing all of these things that the pagans lived in that day. Because of these things, Paul writes, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. But now the second part is that God has called us out of that darkness, and I'm saying the word us because he's writing to us also directly. God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what Peter says in his epistle. And he goes on to describe what the fruit of the light is. And I think we understand that well since you have been Christians for some time and have heard many sermons and have heard the teachings of the church and so on. But he says the fruit of the light is all that is good and right and true. That's remarkable. Good and right and true. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So you and I are to expose whenever we, from what we have learned and from what we have received through the Holy Scriptures, we are to expose them. Many people, if you try to stand up for your faith today in this world too strongly, you will receive kind of ridicule, or they'll turn away from you and walk away and have nothing more to do with you because they're still in the darkness that has never got to them with the light of Christ for some way. Mostly it's their own fault and so on. But if we want to know what walking in the light is, and you can underline that a couple times there. If we want to know how we're to walk, all we need to do as God's people is to look to the Holy Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, for it's inspired by God and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And also in the Old Testament, we have Isaiah's word, to the law, and that means to the Old Testament, to the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there is no light. Notice again, there is no light in them. Then he also goes on and talks about some more ways those who have been brought out of the darkness into the light of Christ are to live. And I've kind of paraphrased it. It's beginning in verse 18 of our epistle today. This is a paraphrase, mind you. You won't see it exactly there, but this is what it means, I think. Be filled with the Spirit instead of strong drink. Now, there is nothing wrong with you having a drink of wine or something like that, but drunkenness and such, taking drugs and all of that is out of the question for those who are walking in the light. Unless, of course, it's some kind of medication that you have been prescribed by a doctor or something. But be filled with the Spirit instead of strong drink. And the way we get filled with the Spirit is exactly the way you're here today to hear the Word of God. And then he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, and the like. Also, there is encouragement to for us to worship together, and that's why you're gathered here today. Giving thanks always and for everything. Wow, that is hard. Living with each other in humility and showing the reverence of Christ. So those are the ways in which we are walking in the light. And I think when we look at all of the things, when you read the whole scriptures and see what God has revealed as to what we're to do and not to do, all of it, we have to say, wow, this is a hard saying. Who can obey it? Who can do it? Like some in the gospel lesson today, they thought what Christ was preaching was a hard saying. Who can do it? And they went away and walked no more with him. And what does Jesus do? He addresses his apostles. Are you also going away? No. Lord, to whom can we go? You sang it a little while ago. You have the words of eternal life. And we believe you are the Savior of the world. So, we're gathered here today as professed Christians. All of you, I take, have been baptized into Christ. You have become members of the Holy Christian Church through the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. You have received gifts of the Spirit that we talked about here. And this Spirit moves you to live in the light of the Lord and to walk in that light. And we should all receive with thanksgiving these gifts that God has given to us personally, this new life in Him. But I ask myself, and you can ask it also, how does my life measure up to this calling to live in the light of Christ? How does it measure up? We would have to confess, oh, I've come short so many times. You know, there's part of us that still remains even after we come to Christ, and that's what we usually call in theology the old Adam, the old man, the old sinful flesh is still there with us. I'm always reminded, and I probably told you this before, a poem I learned long ago about two natures beat within my breast. One is cursed, the other blessed. One I love, the other I hate. The one I feed will dominate. And you are here feeding on those things that help you to put away the darkness and to walk in the Lord's way. And so until our life ends in this present world, we're still going to stumble. We're still going to fall. We're still going to do things. Why did I do that? Why did I break God's law when I know it deliberately? And Paul talks about this struggle that he himself had in the book of Romans concerning this. Even after his conversion to Christ, he writes, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but the very things I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, and it is no longer that I who does it, but the sin that dwells in me, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And I thank God, my Lord, through Jesus Christ, for in him there is forgiveness of sins. So that is our faith also. You heard it in the absolution given today, and faith is to take hold of that. You are, yes, still sinful in many ways, But there is that righteousness of Christ overshadowing you, his forgiveness always there for you to reach out to, and by the power of the Holy Spirit to stand up again and to stand as a child of light in the present darkness of this world. This is how we keep the faith, what we're doing today, and in our daily life as we have our private devotions, private reading of the scriptures and so on. All of those things are to keep us remaining as children of light, even though we are weak in so many different ways. Every day as we remember our Lord and pray to him and read the scriptures and attend our churches and hear the sermons preached, we are receiving strength to fortify ourselves against the forces of darkness that are all around us. You and I, dear friends, at least myself and most of you, we live in a strange culture in America. And I should say we live in a strange culture in the world. Because the world, most of the world, still walks in darkness. I know some of you watched the Olympics these past weeks. There was a lot on television about many different things. But how many of you, I wondered, did you see the opening ceremony? That caused so much controversy in our world. Because what they were doing in that opening ceremony is displaying all people who were basically perverse in their natures. One in the middle with a kind of a crown over the head. And then, I think maybe six on this side and six on that side, if you can imagine that. And they gave the excuse, we were just celebrating the way they used to worship here in France with all these pagan gods and so on. But that offended many people and especially many Christians. They were trying to not say anything about Christianity or the faith that you and I hold who are walking in the light of Christ. That is so shameful. And the other thing that I read about, they had an artist who was supposed to now make a beautiful painting of downtown Paris, France, and he did so. The only thing that he did when he made the painting to sell was not to show Notre Dame. It was not to paint any crosses on the steeples of all of the churches that are downtown Paris, and to try to obliterate everything that would remind us of our Christian faith in Jesus Christ, who was put to death for our sins and raised again for our eternal life. That's the darkness. And it keeps coming at us. And it's time for us to stand firm with one another and each other, professing our faith, encouraging one another in our faith and our life. So let us, in whom the light of Christ has come, continue to pray daily for our nation and the world and its governing authority, that laws might be passed that are faithful and true to God's authority and not according to the erroneous pagan thinking of many who still are walking in the darkness. Let us ask God to give us daily strength to witness to the faith we have in Christ and to help them to see him as the light of the world. And let us continue through word and sacrament to let his light continue to shine in our hearts. And let us in our own lives use the means of grace faithfully, the good news of our Savior, the forgiveness of sins, who always gives us further strength to continue our walk in the light. God grant it in Jesus Christ our Lord, who is the light of the world. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and in the light that has come into your hearts. Amen.